When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It was an ordinary night in May. Spring was settling in and we were trying to get back to normalcy at home after a difficult few months. My wife, Helen, and our three children, John, Lisa, and Tom, were eating dinner together in the dining room when I noticed a small package near the fireplace. It had a red bow and the wrapping was reminiscent of a Christmas present, which was odd given that Christmas was many months away. No one seemed to know how it got there. Helen raised an eyebrow, curious, and the boys exchanged glances, but none of them said anything. I thought maybe one of them wanted to surprise us. A joke, perhaps. However, the awkward silence on their faces convinced me that no one in the family had put that gift there. Just out of curiosity, I opened it. Inside was a dead bird.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I was absolutely furious. Again, I turned to the kids asking who had been the culprit, but they all denied it. They looked as terrified as we did. If any of them were at fault, they were giving the performance of a lifetime. For that night, I let it go, but I would have a talk with them the next day. The night went on without any further disturbance, but the next day, when I went down to the dining room, there was another identical package on the table. Helen looked at it quizzically and asked aloud if one of the boys were playing a joke, but no one answered. The boys insisted that they didn't know where those gifts came from either. In fact, this time I believed them. After the prank the day before, none of them would go as far as to continue the joke. I took the package with some mistrust and decided to open it. Inside, there was something dark and stringy that I immediately recognized by the smell. Rotten meat, in an advanced state of decomposition. I quickly removed it. The smell permeated the air and everyone present recoiled, with expressions of disgust and surprise. Helen and I questioned the boys once more, but they insisted that they had nothing to do with it. Still, I began to search the house, suspecting that someone might be sneaking in. I found no sign that anyone had forced doors or windows. The next night we were eating dinner, but vigilant, waiting to see if anything else happened. Around 10 o'clock, just as we were about to finish eating, we heard a noise on the roof, as if someone was walking on it. We all stood in silence, looking at each other, tense. Then, unexpectedly, a new package fell down from the chimney and landed in the middle of the room, almost as if someone had thrown it. I couldn't hide my anger. I put my fork down on my plate and got up quickly, determined to find out who was behind it all. I went out into the garden, flashlight in hand, and tried to shine a light on the roof. I could see nothing and no one. For a moment, I thought I was losing my mind. But then I saw it. A bony white face peering just over the edge of the roof. My pulse quickened as I saw a hand slowly emerge from the edge as well, waving macabrely at me. I screamed, without thinking, and the face disappeared. I didn't stand still. I grabbed a shovel I had nearby and climbed up to the roof, determined to find him and put an end to this. I checked every nook and cranny, but there was nothing. Just silence and darkness. I climbed down the roof in frustration, my heart still pounding. The intruder had probably run off after greeting me. No sooner had I thought of coming down from the roof than I heard Helen's voice. No sooner had I thought of coming down from the roof. Then I heard Helen's voice. A scream. Something was happening to her. I ran into the living room and found my children lying on the floor, writhing in pain. At the back of the room, Helen was in a corner, trembling, while a gangly figure stood in front of her with a huge stone in his hand. I didn't even think. I ran toward him, raising the shovel and throwing a blow at his back with all my might. But what followed was terrifying. The man didn't even flinch. He barely turned his head, annoyed but laughing. I tried to hit him again, but he grabbed the shovel and pushed me to the ground. He was in front of me, about to launch himself in my head with the rock. That blow was going to be deadly. It was going to kill me. At that exact moment when my life was about to end, John and Lisa rushed at him, trying to stop him. They didn't manage to stop him. But they gave me time to recover and rush towards him. Between the three of us, we were able to hold him down. Meanwhile, Helen, from the corner, managed to call the police. The minutes went on forever as we struggled to keep him from escaping. The police arrived just as we were on the edge. Fortunately, they managed to subdue the man and handcuff him, although he was still squirming and laughing as if he didn't care at all. We walked away from him, shaking from sheer exhaustion and fear. The agents could barely restrain him. His strength was abnormal, almost superhuman. When they finally managed to take him away, Helen and I hugged the boys. They were as terrified as we were. No one understood how he had managed to get into the house, or how it was possible for him to endure so much pain while barely reacting. We stood in silence, processing what had happened. The house was a wreck, and we could barely stand. That night, no one slept. What if the man wasn't alone? Was I really sure it was the same man who had filmed him on the roof? What if he had an accomplice? We felt that something was still lurking, even though the fear persisted. Even though the police assured us that the man was in custody. Nevertheless, the fear persisted. Days later, we received a call from the sheriff. They had identified the man. His name was Robert Crane, a psychiatric patient who had been recently released after spending years locked up for murdering his family at Christmas. We also learned that Crane suffered from a rare medical condition, congenital insensitivity to pain. He was able to withstand blows that would have been incapacitating for anyone else. He wasn't some supernatural being or anything like that, but unless he was knocked unconscious, he couldn't be stopped. He didn't feel any pain. The police explained to us that Crane had been seen in a forest, living alone among trees and abandoned buildings. His obsession with Christmas and his inability to feel pain made him dangerously unpredictable. That night, We understood that we had survived something that could have ended much worse. Even today, every time I see a box wrapped in Christmas paper, a shiver runs through me. The house has been repaired since. But something else happened to us that night. That man made us feel pathetic, unprotected, and unable to defend ourselves if anything worse happened to us. These days I'm armed. But I'm not a big fan of guns. And I'm afraid that this gun will bring more problems than solutions. The only chance we have as a family is to pray that nothing ever happens to us, and that we live as peacefully as possible.
The snow was falling heavily that afternoon. Ben and I loved Christmas, and even though there were a few days left, the snow made us feel like we were already there. We were recording the snowfall. It was a little heavier than normal, and we watched as the lights of the Christmas tree in the corner of the living room were twinkling behind us. As my cell phone screen focused on the white landscape, something strange appeared at the edge of the image. At first, I thought it was a branch or something moved by the wind. But as I zoomed in, I saw it clearly. Something that definitely didn't belong there. It was a spider. The biggest spider I had ever seen in my life. Seeing it, I stepped back and showed the screen to Ben, who moved even closer to the window to see it in person.
Is it real?
The spider was huge. And strangest of all, it was wearing a Christmas hat. One of those little red pointed hats, like the ones we used to put on the figurines on the tree. The contrast of the red hat against the spider's dark fur made it stand out even more. It was impossible not to look at it. The creature moved slowly down the sidewalk, each of its hairy legs moving in an absolutely terrifying manner. Ben and I were barely breathing, standing still, frozen in front of the window, filming, not understanding what we were seeing. We rushed to the kitchen to show our parents what we had just recorded. They greeted us with smiles, busy preparing dinner. When Ben showed them the video, our parents looked at it with an expression of disbelief. My mother laughed and asked how we had made the montage. My dad got angry, saying we couldn't go outside in this snowfall.
But we didn't make it. It's outside. We saw it.
My father just looked at us with that enough with the jokes expression and went on about his business. Our mother told us that she believed us, but that it could be someone from outside was playing a joke on us. In short, they didn't take us seriously. Ben started to get annoyed, and after we went back to our room, Ben jumped out the window with his cell phone in hand, determined to film the spider from a closer point of view and prove it was real. I ran out after him, yelling for him to stop, that it wasn't safe, but Ben was already in the garden, scanning with his camera. I saw his eyes widen as he caught something in the trees at the edge of the forest. The spider, as if it was waiting for that moment, began to back away slowly, almost as if inviting Ben to follow it. Ben looked at the spider and then looked at me with a mixture of curiosity and defiance. I yelled at him not to go after it, that it was pointless, but he just waved me off. He took a breath and began to walk deeper into the woods, stepping firmly into the snow as if his only mission in life was to film this thing. My legs were shaking, but I couldn't let him go alone. I followed him, trying not to lose sight of him.
Ben, come back. You'll get us in trouble.
In the distance, the spider was still moving through the trees, wearing the Christmas hat. To our surprise, the spider looked scared. It was moving away faster and faster as if it was intimidated by my little brother. Ben advanced faster and faster, stumbling in the snow, and each time the spider disappeared into the trees, he hurried faster and faster to catch up. I began to despair. The forest was getting thicker and thicker with trees and snow, and each step took us farther away from the house. Finally, the spider disappeared, and Ben picked up his cell phone and started recording again, looking for it, following the trail in the snow. I was only a few feet behind him, but there was something in the air that I didn't like. Something was wrong. That spider wasn't fast enough to just disappear from sight like that. Suddenly, I heard a noise in the trees that my brother didn't hear. I looked up and saw it. The spider. It was in a tree above us.
Ben, watch out!
Before he could react, the creature jumped up and with its legs grabbed him. I saw how my brother tried to scream, but his scream meant nothing in the middle of the forest. I ran towards them without thinking, driven by sheer panic. Halfway there, I grabbed a rock and threw it with all my might. The stone hit the spider, and I heard a sharp crack. I had heard it. The spider staggered and let go of Ben for a second. He fell to the ground, dazed, as I tried to reach him. But at that moment, the creature focused on me. Its legs bent backward, preparing to attack me.
Run, Ben!
But Ben had frozen, staring at it as if hypnotized. The spider tensed as if it was about to pounce. At that instant, Ben seemed to awaken from his trance and ran off in the opposite direction into the deep forest. The spider wasted no time, and instead of continuing to try and attack me, it went after him with surprisingly fast movement. I ran after both of them, shouting in case someone heard me and could help us, but no one came. Ben ran with everything he could, but the spider was close, too close. I knew I wouldn't be able to catch them. Ben and the spider disappeared from my sight, little by little, farther and farther away. I felt exhaustion in every fiber of my body, but I kept running. I couldn't leave Ben alone with that thing. The tree branches seemed to scratch my skin. It was hard to breathe, and I could no longer run. And I knew that Ben was not more athletic than me. We were just kids, and surely he was exhausted too. Finally, I fell to the ground. My legs could no longer support me. After a while, I don't know how long, I managed to stand up and tried to find my way back. I stumbled through the trees, my head full of images of my brothers and that hideous spider. I could barely see the tears that filled my eyes and the cold that crept into my bones. There was no sign of Ben, no trace of him in the woods. I made my way back to town as best I could, my hands and knees hurting. When I reached the front door of the house, my parents came running out, and I barely managed to stammer out a few words before I fell to the ground. I tried to explain what had happened, but my parents just nervously yelled at me to tell them the truth. I couldn't say much more, as I became very sleepy and fainted. Weeks later, the town was full of rumors. A group of teenagers who had gone out to explore the forest at night found a cave full of spider webs. At the bottom, in the dust and darkness, they saw some human remains. A small skeleton covered in cobwebs. I knew it was Ben, and even though my parents told me not to give up hope, I knew they began to believe me. Little by little, the searches began to cease. Today, no one talks about Ben. Not even my parents, although I can see how it affects them. From that day on, they controlled me far too much and didn't let me go out alone until many years later. They used to say that they thought my brother was probably lost in the woods. But they knew I was telling the truth. They were just afraid to admit it. I've had pets since I was a child. Many of them were raised with me. Others were rescued later. I learned a lot about dogs and cats, but if there's one thing I could never learn to handle, it's when they die. Krog, our companion for almost 7 years, died a few months ago. The void he left in the house was immense. We were never interested in having children, so Krog took up that space in our lives. Jenna, my girlfriend, and I spent our days in silence, every corner of the house reminding us of him. Jenna was the one who first suggested the idea of adopting another dog.
Don't look at it as a replacement for Krog. Look at it as giving another dog a chance to have another home.
I wasn't sure if I wanted another dog so soon, but I admit, those words were what broke me. We ended up adopting a puppy from the shelter. He was a small Labrador cross, quiet and a bit reserved for being so young. We named him Rolo. He was the complete opposite of Krog, who had been a gale of energy, always running all over the house. Rolo, on the other hand, seemed content to sleep most of the time and nibble on his toys from time to time. He seemed perfect for what we needed at the time. Some calm and...
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Peace. The first few weeks with Rolo went exactly as we expected. He adapted quickly to his new home and was hardly any trouble. He slept in the dining room on a small bed, always quiet. Jenna and I were starting to feel a little bit better. The house didn't feel so empty with him there. But one night as we were lying down, we heard something strange. It was coming from the dining room, where Rolo was sleeping. A noise that sounded like something was moving back and forth. Jenna turned to me in bed and whispered,
"Did you hear that?"
"Yes. Wait for me here."
"Be careful. Yell if you need help or anything."
"No problem. I'm sure it's just Rolo." When I got to the dining room, I found Rolo running from one side of the room to the other, completely out of control. As soon as he saw me, he seemed to calm down, but he still looked excited. Not scared, but amused. It was strange behavior, especially coming from a dog that had always been so calm. I tried to reassure him, but he wouldn't listen. Jenna arrived soon after, and we both watched in silence, not knowing what to do. Finally, I managed to lift Rolo into my arms, and he slowly began to calm down. Jenna was still half asleep and asked me what I thought had happened. I didn't know what to answer. It was weird, but I thought maybe I had a bad dream or that I heard something outside. However, in the days that followed, Rolo's behavior began to repeat itself. Every night, around the same time, he would start running around the house like crazy. During the day, he was his usual calm puppy self, but when night fell, something changed. Jenna became concerned. We suggested taking him to the vet, but other than his strange nighttime behavior, he didn't seem to have any other symptoms. He ate well and slept well, until nightfall. Then one night, the noises began to intensify. It was no longer just Rolo's footsteps running. We heard banging. Loud banging.
coming from the dining room. We got up to see what was going on and found the puppy, panting, staring at us as if he knew something we didn't. But there was no sign of what had happened, no clue as to what had caused the banging. Everything in the house was in its place. The situation got worse. Now, every night, the banging and the noises were getting more violent. Something was happening in our house. If it had been Krog, we could justify those noises as him playing and throwing chairs. But this dog was very small. There was no way he could do this unless he had enormous strength that we didn't know about. One night, while trying to sleep, I heard what sounded like footsteps. They weren't Rolo's, they were heavier, like someone walking through the dining room. I got up and, again, found nothing. But one night the knocking became even louder, and they were no longer just noises. This wasn't Rolo. Someone was in the house. We heard a crash as if some glass had broken. Jenna screamed from the bedroom, and we both ran into the dining room, thinking the puppy had something to do with it. The first thing we saw was Rolo barking like crazy, looking up at a window that was broken. The glass covered the floor, and there, in the middle of the dining room, there were four people. There were two men and two women, all young, maybe teenagers. They were standing there, wearing white, smiling masks. Each carried a knife, and they didn't say a word. They just started laughing, a high-pitched mocking sound that sent a chill down my spine. Before I could react, one of the boys hit me in the face. I fell to the ground, feeling the taste of blood in my mouth. I was trying to pull myself together. I watched as another one of the guys grabbed Jenna by the arm and threw her to the ground. They started kicking her, laughing all the while as if it was a game to them. I got up, but before I could get close, another one of the guys put a knife to Jenna's neck and looked at me.
"If you move, I'll kill her."
I was paralyzed. I knew I couldn't do anything, not without risking Jenna's life. The four teenagers just looked at us, enjoying the terror on our faces.
"We're going to rip out all your teeth. And then we'll make you watch as we kill your girlfriend. The last thing you'll see is her dead body."
If this kept up, the teenagers would keep their promise. Even if this got me killed, I had to act. I lunged at one of the boys, the one who was kicking Jenna, and threw him to the ground. I grabbed him by the neck and started squeezing with all my strength. The boy was struggling to get free, but I wasn't about to let go. If I kept squeezing him, I would surely kill him. If only he would faint.
"Let go, or she dies. Now!"
I stopped, letting go of the boy I had been strangling. He slowly stood up, a smile on his face.
"That was a big mistake."
He walked over to Rolo, who was still shivering in the corner of the room, and grabbed him by the collar.
They really deserve a punishment. Yeah, you're right, honey. I think this puppy is going to pay for what you did."
Without thinking, the man picked up the dog and carried him to the center of the room. After that, he put his big boot on his head and stared at me, implying that he was going to crush him. He was going to do it. There was nothing we could do about it. But before he could, the boy screamed in pain. He fell to the ground, clutching his foot. Something had bitten him, a deep, bleeding wound. But there was nothing there. Chairs began to move around the house as if something was pushing them. Footsteps could be heard, fast, running through the house. The teenagers looked around, terrified. Within seconds, they dropped their knives and fled in terror. One of the boys didn't escape so easily. Before he reached the door, something grabbed him from behind. We couldn't see what it was, but one of his feet lifted as if something was ripping him. The other teenagers tried to help him, pulling him toward the door. Finally, they managed to pull him out, and they all ran away as fast as they could. Jenna and I were in shock. We didn't understand what had happened. She and I stayed in each other's arms, thinking this would be our turn. But nothing happened. Whatever had appeared had protected us. Rolo was still in his corner, shaking, but he was safe. We called the police, though we had no idea how to explain what had happened. The officers arrived and took our statements, but we never told them the end of it, only that the teenagers left after we had defended ourselves. The next morning, we checked the security cameras in the courtyard, which was the only place we had them installed, looking for some clue as to what had happened. What we saw left us speechless. A figure began to materialize in the images. It was Krog, our dead dog, walking slowly through the garden. It was only for a second, but we saw him. At that moment, we understood everything. The banging in the house, the noises. It was him. Krog was never really gone. He was still there, protecting us, taking care of Rolo, playing with him every night. Whenever Krog would wreck the house, he would calm down when we opened the door, just like in the dining room every time we saw it happen. Many other people would have wanted to move out of there after that, and before that happened, we were going to do that. But because of the price, we didn't. We were afraid that wherever we went, Krog wouldn't follow us.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
We pooled all of our savings, took out several loans, and asked for help from our family, and we bought the house. I know that many people would be scared every time they heard a noise at midnight. But we are glad. We know that those noises mean that Krog is there, protecting us, playing with the puppy he never got to know in life.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.